yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, do we remember that one? Do we
no.
remember
what that is one? That?
Oh, this is like an emo pop punk, like, 90s.
Was that like Austin Campbell mixtape vibes?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Check Yes, Juliet, are you with... I don't know. I heard it in some, like, 90s movie recently, and I was like, oh, this song. I forgot about this song.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah. It was like, it's a little bit of deep cut.
I wasn't that cool to listen to the
emo pop punk.
Yeah. Not as much.
Yeah. Wow. Well, welcome, listeners. You may be hearing a slightly different quality to this recording. Oh, you stopped it. Or someone stopped it.
It's still going.
It's still going.
See, this is part of the what's happening today, everyone, is that we're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
We're doing it so live.
And we're using different recording equipment because we're in person together. I don't know, what'd you call this? The dog compound?
The doghouse.
Yes.
The Ameripod doghouse.
The Ameripod doghouse, Inglewood headquarters.
Yeah, doghouse HQ. No, party doghouse HQ.
Yeah, something.
Some combination of those things.
Something along those lines. So we're gonna get it, world. We're gonna get it. And I am joined today here in person. We are here in person. I'm joining you, I feel like, is really the truth.
You're from here.
I'm from here, but I don't live here. But I am from here.
You're honorary.
Thank you. Back to Mountain Mean. And I am the sort of guardrails, Tyler Grillo here. And I'm with the owner of the Dog HQ, John Anderson.
Okay. I always find it so weird being in person. It's such a different experience.
Yeah,
it's
we
so
can, like, weirder. Look at each other in the real eye. We can, like, instead of just looking at the screens,
yeah.
You don't really know who they're looking at. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in the past, we only get to do this once in a blue moon, right?
That's
so
right.
It's once every 50, 60 episodes, maybe. And it does, the flow's a little different, but it's good. There was a time where I would, back when we first started the show, always be with one of you.
Yeah.
But that since passed, and then the pandemic happened, and we were never together.
Yeah, I know. What a time.
What a time the pandemic was. Who misses that?
I know. Ongoing. Now it's just what do they call it? An endemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse for my alcoholism to just hang out at home.
Right.
Just kidding. No, but it felt that way a little bit by the end of it.
Yeah.
I remember it was a mess. That's not the subject of this podcast, but I was the first time I was around people again, it was a problem. I was not in a place to be around people.
It took a little,
well, I was just like not used to it. Yeah, like I didn't have that much anxiety. I remember, but I was just like not good at it.
Right. Yeah. You're not quick-witted as much.
I think it is added to the decline in American civil discourse. More than just about anything in our life except for maybe 9/11.
Yeah.
Well, and they did say that, like, people going out decreased. Like, people spend more time at home alone than they did prior to the pandemic. And I think some of that was, like, that muscle memory that we lost.
Yeah, they talked about it. It was, they talked about it this morning on CPR.
Let's go CPR.
Like, a fucking survey of people over 55, and 70% said they go out less and they have less meaningful social interactions.
Which is really tough
on people getting old. Like, maybe that's why the boomers are all going fucking nuts, because they were locked in their house for 2 years.
Even before, I mean, like, it was... Because that book, Bullying Alone, which was, that was like from us in high school.
Right.
And so this was a trend that's been happening, but it's like, it was greatly accelerated by the pandemic, and then we haven't like recovered from it.
Yeah, right.
And I definitely feel that in my own, I mean, part of it is that we're getting old.
Yeah.
But part of it, but also part of it is just like, it's just more effort to do stuff now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm just like not used to it, you know. And it's simple, even simple stuff where it's like, I don't know where to park.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I'm like, do I really want it? Is it worth it?
Yeah, exactly.
But
prior to that, it was like, oh no, I know this parking spot, and like, or this, you know, that'll be fine. And so like, you lose that muscle memory.
Yeah. Well, this the gentleman tracking the decline of the boomers over here, John Kelly. Also, I just wanted to shout you out of there.
Sweet.
It's so good I don't do the intro because we would never finish it.
We would never get through it.
Because I'm always surprised where it's like, oh yeah, we have to introduce the other person 7 minutes in.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the introduction. Good to be here. Good to be back. Hope you guys are excited. We got fun topics tonight.
That's right. Super fun for episode 204.
And speaking of which, I would like to apologize to everybody in the world because I used to wish that politics were more exciting and people were more interested in them. And that was a deep mistake.
Yeah, you didn't like qualify that enough.
I really didn't, and I'm sorry. Because it's going to be the best entertainment we have in the next 9 months. And it's also going to be the worst thing in the fucking world.
Yeah. So terrible. You wished upon that star, you
asshole. Yes. Yeah.
I see how.
Fully Myron. It's one of those where, like, the genie's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, if you want that, you did.
Yep.
It's the ancient, like, it's either Chinese or Japanese, but it's like a curse.
May you get what you want.
Yeah.
No, may you live in interesting times.
So oh, yeah.
It's, like, it's both a curse and a blessing.
And a blessing,
so.
That's right.
We're
that's
doing
right.
it.
Yep.
Doing
well, let's get into it then on this, on April 16, 2024 at 6:31 Mountain Mean Time. We also joined by the dogs, of course, so you may hear them. Putting in their two cents.
They're on patrol for fascists.
There we go. Yeah. There we go.
And there might be some action on that today.
Yeah. We might be in some action on that today. Well, let's go ahead. Let's start perhaps with the international scope here, and then we'll come back to domestic issues. The unfolding continued genocide in Gaza has escalated in that it's moving outside of that particular sphere. Into as we have sort of mentioned the possibility of this expanding into a more of a regional conflict, and unfortunately that seems to be happening. So of course Iran backs certain militia groups in and around the state of Israel. So you know, Israel has not liked that. And then Israel did a drone strike on the Iranian embassy in Damascus, and obviously Iran did not like that, and they vowed retaliation. And so then was this what 2 days ago, I believe, or the last couple days, Iran did finally respond by sending, I mean, a bunch of drones.
Couple hundred
drones. Also, or, well, some a
couple,
other...
couple hundred, what would be the blanket? There were drones, there were ICBMs, there were ballistic missiles and cruise missiles.
Right.
Yeah. Those were the three buckets.
I thought there was more missiles than drones, but I thought there was different reports. But either way, you're right that it's an escalation that people with knowledge of the region knew was likely.
Yeah.
Especially given the Iranian stance against the Israeli state for basically its entire existence as the main antagonist against them in the region. It's kind of a time bomb waiting to happen. I mean, we'll see what happens. The U.S. came out strong again, backing Israel, saying, Iran, don't do it again.
Yeah.
Right? Don't do anything. Yeah. I mean, Iran militarily is not that strong. They don't have a whole lot of capability unless they get some serious backing.
It depends on – that's a relative thing, I think. Like,
that's
compared
true.
To the United States military, compared to the Israeli military, I mean, the Israeli military is a lot more – sophisticated, but also Iran has a lot of capability, especially with their missile program. Also, Iran can create a ton of issues in the Strait of Hormuz, which is where a significant amount of international shipping goes. So they do have some pressure points that allows them to punch above their weight.
Right.
Certainly. Yeah, I was going to get to the international trade piece, but yeah, you're totally right. And as major actors in the region and for years, I honestly thought that it would happen sooner. I know Tyler and I were talking about this a couple days ago, where it was like, you know, they're obviously not really stepping in to back the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Because they could have done that in the last 6 months, provided more pressure militarily in the region. And it wasn't until they were attacked that it gave them the excuse to do something about it. I thought that they would jump sooner. Given some of the of the reports and clearly the over the top killing by Israeli forces of Gazan citizens, Palestinian citizens, but
So finally found numbers: 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, and 120 ballistic missiles. So what you do is the drones are slow moving, so you launch those first, and then you try and launch the other missiles to all attack at the same time to overwhelm Iron Dome and other defenses.
Yeah,
pretty wild videos and pictures coming out of that.
Yeah,
that night attack.
But it seems like the defense systems like blocked everything.
I think like a dozen or so munitions actually landed, so this presents a very interesting opportunity for all parties to de-escalate because.
Yeah.
In international relations, when somebody blows up your top military commanders, you have to respond. And so, but what you're trying, there's kind of two avenues you can respond with. Number one is you want to respond with the idea of de-escalation in mind, or you want to respond with escalation in mind. And so this, and you also want to maintain deterrence, which is to say, if you punch me, I'm going to punch you back so hard, it's not worth it for you to punch me first.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's been strikes back and forth between Israel and Iranian-backed forces, culminating in this attack on the Iranian generals. Iran had to respond. This was a massive salvo. This is much larger than I think any single day we've seen Russia attack Ukraine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge attack.
It was a huge attack. Now, that being said, Israel is not necessarily in a position where they have to respond because they were so successful at intercepting all of these munitions. And so it gives everybody the opportunity to say, hey, look, like we largest missile strike
we
in the...
We checked the boxes.
Yeah, exactly. And so then everybody's able to come away de-escalating while also saving face, which would be... a really great opportunity, and most of the parties have signaled that they want to do that other than Israel.
Yeah. Right. Well, and it's unclear to me why they, you know, I mean, obviously Iran's been funding, you know, Hamas, Hezbollah, etc. for a long time, but that's nothing new, and so it was unclear to me why they struck the general in the... in Damascus.
My understanding is because, you know, like the... not the Houthis, but Hezbollah, is we should view them as Iranian.
Right.
And so as things ramp up between Israel and Hezbollah, Iran is also viewing that as essentially a proxy fight.
For their government.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
And so, like, you know, we would view... in part a massive attack on Israel as also an attack on the interests of the United States.
Right.
So that's kind of similar.
Yeah.
So there's a significant Venn diagram overlap, but not a whole Venn diagram overlap between those things.
Yeah.
And I liked what you said about the kind of deterrence going forward aspect. It saves the Iranians face with a lot of their citizens. And it does allow for some de-escalation. I don't really see it as the Iranians is really someone who want to get in and be a major player in what's happening right now. Yeah. They do not want to bring the U.S. more into this, and it will if they continue to do that. They know the stakes in the region writ large. And it's a step away from being the U.S. and even potentially the Saudis jumping in on the side of the U.S. to take over regional dominance with Iran, which Iran doesn't want and can't have.
And we don't really, like, we want more of a balance of forces in the Middle East. We don't want the Iranians or the Saudis or anybody
to gain hegemonic power over the entire region.
Yeah, that's basically what the war in Iraq was about, was making sure that Iraq didn't gain hegemony over the... one of the most important economic regions in the world.
Trying to get that oil!
And as Kelly was alluding to a moment ago, that we had been talking about I just saw some stuff posting online. It wasn't over, but it was like just a few like of these like lefty like accounts that were framing this as if Iran was stepping in to defend the Palestinians. And I was like, okay, there's nothing that annoys me more than when progressives don't understand like
regional politics.
I'm like, that's absolutely not what's happening here. Yeah. They're doing it because their fucking embassy got hit, because they could have done it any time in the last 6 months.
Yeah, they actually this isn't like a humanitarian. Also, yeah. Like if you're interested in helping the Palestinians launching a couple hundred missiles.
Yeah, in Israel, yeah, yeah.
Is not a great way to do
not
it.
Not the way to do that.
So, but you do need to, you know, there is value in the game of international relations. And if you get punched, you got to punch back. And there is, if you do that right, all parties gain stability. And that's ultimately what we want. Like the real threat to the international system is chaos. Yeah. Wherever that comes from, it's chaos. Yeah. And we want stability because stability allows people to live their normal lives, grow, yeah. Have economic success. They're not fighting wars.
Yeah.
So
we shall see. Like, yeah. If there's any, yeah, what the next move is. Hopefully none. Hopefully none.
I think as long as Israel doesn't do anything stupid, we yeah. should be in a pretty good, like, honestly, through this, I was like, oh, this is an opportunity.
Questionable. Yeah, they haven't had the best track record the last 6 months in their decision.
Yeah. And I mean, it is... they are making massive, horrendous, strategic mistakes. Like the attack on the World Kitchen.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
that yeah, makes yeah. you look...
Killing yeah. aid workers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Allowing aid workers to cross the border and then killing them.
Yes, yeah, which yeah, happened yeah. today.
That happened right. today. Yeah. It's like, it's not making you look good in the public eye.
No, yeah. and it brings anywhere. You further from your strategic goals. It might match your tactical and operational goals, but it takes you further from your strategic goals, which is a peaceful, safe Israel.
Yeah.
And so they're losing.
Unless your strategy is to also take more land, which seems to be what they're trying to do. And so they're kind of willing to sacrifice short-term stability.
And I think they would say the long-term stability of Israel is dependent on more land. And then we would say you're...
yeah, yeah, yeah.
that is not a valid argument
yeah.
For... But that would be their response, I think. Yeah, because you are always... Unless you're a... straight fucking sociopath.
Yeah.
You're always trying to get to stability in the world system.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. I honestly, seeing this strike was, my reaction was optimism.
Right.
Yeah.
We would be able to find this is a great opportunity for everybody to find an off ramp out of a regional war.
And unfortunately, like, the one kind of negative in that aspect is that I think the successful fight off of it strengthens Netanyahu's position a little bit in Israel,
yeah.
which is an issue. Because, like, really in the last 2 weeks, he was facing probably the biggest criticism, the biggest challenge he's ever had to his presidency.
Yeah.
And so, like, they were close to calling a vote
to get him out. That's a very good point.
I could see this being, like, while potentially like a bigger deterrent for the region, possibly keeping him in power longer, which could hurt Israel more in the long run, because his views are out of touch with the majority of the citizens within Israel, the majority of Israelis and Jewish people around the globe. And if there was a vote today, he'd probably lose it.
Yep.
And it might be better for everybody involved if he did sooner.
That's the one gray potential silver lining. The counterfactual is like, well, let's say this strike is really successful in the Iranians' perspective, then it's like Netanyahu cannot defend us. We had the October 7th attacks,
right?
The 7th?
Yes.
October 7th attacks, and then we had this, and, you know, the one thing that he purports to do is to be able to protect Israel, and he obviously can't do that.
Even with the U.S. backing. Yeah. Like, the message would have been very clear.
It would, for
sure.
And that's where we get into all of these perversions, where it's like, would that have been better?
Right.
We don't know. Like, in order to get to that better, that probably means dozens of casualties for the Israelis.
But is that less
casualties than a regional war in the future?
Or the continued Palestinian
So the perversions of these types of things are real. And I think that is really tough for people to get, where people are like, death is bad. And you're like, totally agree, but like, if these 10 people die, these 100 people survive.
Yeah.
So what is the moral calculus on that?
Yeah.
And then we get into trolley problems, and everybody enjoys their philosophy class.
We could wax poetic on that. And we'll obviously be, this will be an ongoing topic we come back to. Hopefully it'll be in the guise of, hey, look, no more escalation, but who knows? Well, we could wax poetic on that. Why don't we go ahead and just turn our attention to the fact that our ex-president, current front runner in the Republican Party, is in criminal charges in court right now, first time in history, for paying hush money to a porn star. Let's go. Because
his wife gave birth and everything. Fun time.
Do you mean Sleepy Dawn?
Yeah, Sleepy Dawn.
Is that
Dawn.
What we're talking about? Sleepy Dawn. Falling asleep on both days of your first criminal trial.
Yeah,
classy stuff.
Yeah, real
glad cool. He's a just paragon of male vigor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, he's sleeping, John, because he knows that there's a finite amount of energy that his body has, and he doesn't want to waste it on these stupid criminal charges.
That's a good point.
So he knows he's gonna sleeping because he has to defend the American people. He's not going to waste his energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. His limited energy of his lifetime.
That battery, man. That battery runs out fast if you're not careful. Yeah,
Or maybe his battery is starting to run out. Maybe that's the problem. You know, we don't know.
He does seem to be slipping a little bit.
A lot of it. But
his cheeseburgers are catching up to him.
The cheeseburgers and never doing any drugs. It's rough. That's a real thing. Raw dog in life over there. But let's be right. For those of you who may not remember, because there are multiple criminal charges against Donald Trump, what's specifically fun about this one is that it's about the hush money that he paid to Stormy Daniels so that she would not talk about their relationship that they were having when, his wife was giving birth, and that's all fully fucked up. And this was then, it appears to be somewhat covered up in terms of the finances that he had to show in order to be a candidate the first time around.
From his campaign.
From his campaign finances.
Yeah, this is a campaign finance reform issue. This is a it was a donation. It can be viewed as an in-kind donation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, it needs to be declared and yada yada.
It's an in-kind donation from him to Stormy Daniels' pocket.
Yes.
She's signed an NDA and then got paid from it.
So awesome, especially when that person is the standard bearer apparently for the evangelical movement in the United States. This is day two. It would appear possibly that the trial, I haven't seen the details on this, but I was seeing some blurbs that there's indications that the trial could go much longer than originally thought, which I think has positive political implications for everybody not wanting Donald Trump to be the next dictator of the United States.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. They've selected 7 jurors so far. God help those people.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kind of amazed they found 7.
Me too.
Already. How do you find impartial fucking people?
I don't know. One of the New York Times, I think they even did a push notification of it, was like, could you be impartial? And I was like, I would have walked in there and been like, that fucker is guilty.
You would have been cut.
I would have been like, do not put me in there because there's 0% chance. I will nuke the whole justice system to make, even if I think he's innocent, that man is fucking guilty, so he won't be the next president. So goodbye.
I mean, like, in a pool in New York.
New York, hate him there.
Everybody already hates him. He's president for 4 years. He was a mainstay in the culture of New York City for 35 years. How do you find anybody who's lived under a rock that long to not have an opinion one way or another on Trump? It's very difficult. I mean, that issue will be played out. And then, you know, of course, there's all the issues of whether or not he's going to be able to keep his mouth shut from attacking not only.
Answer's no.
Right.
Yeah.
And how long it lasts. So, I mean, we'll see. But it's pretty wild. I saw a poll that 2/3 of Americans don't think that even if he is guilty of that, it's a crime, which is very interesting. If he gets convicted there, it doesn't matter because it's not really a crime. That's where the discourse is with certain people in this country.
That's tough.
So, yeah.
And that's that's two thirds.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, luckily we got three other swings at the bat
too. Yeah. It's not the only one. But I do think it's going to be interesting one, just given the topic of it, obviously.
Yeah, it's salacious.
Yeah, it's salacious. And you know that it's going. You know, one of the things that he's apparently getting mad about is it's like what he's putting on Truth Social and everything is that he's upset that the judge is like making him like show up to court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, he was like, hey, could I like go to my son's graduation? And he was like, maybe I'll let you know, which is like a totally legitimate response. And he like freaked out about that. He didn't say no, but apparently he wanted to social. He just won't let me go. It's like, actually he said, but then it was other things like,
can you don't I go get to special camp- treatment, bro.
Yeah.
Like you're on a federal trial.
Right. Yeah. There's other things like, can I go to this campaign rally? Can I go to this thing? And it's like, the judge is like, I probably not, man. Like that's not how this works, you know? Yeah. And so he's getting all pissed about that, which is just so, it just shows where his head's at. To me, it shows that he's like, this isn't going to matter. Like, I'm going to get off. Or like, he's more annoyed about how it's eating into his life than he is about the implications of like going to prison.
Yeah, I actually think he's scared of this one, that it could go wrong for him. And I think that he thinks the less time he can be in there, the better likelihood that they won't convict him, because he'll be away doing other things. He can rile up his supporters. He won't be there.
Right.
And maybe not having his face in there might be better with the jurors. I mean, this is just another side of the coin. Who knows what's going on in that orange head of his.
Number one, he is a certifiable narcissistic sociopath.
Yeah.
And so, of course, he doesn't think he should be there because he's not guilty.
Right. Didn't do anything.
The other thing, if we're talking about like strategery and logic and whatever, is his single best defense for all of these criminal trials is, I'm the president of the United States.
Yeah, I have been.
I was wrongfully taken away from me during the election.
And if he is elected and there are still ongoing federal cases, he can direct the attorney general to let those go.
And as we saw,
the Justice Department came out and said, we cannot charge a sitting president with a crime when he was president.
Right.
So it is advantageous for him to go to campaign rallies aside from the court,
so that he can be president again.
That's his main legal strategy.
That's why he's running, to delay and win the presidency. That is why he is running.
I think so too.
Other than that, he would be running purely for his ego. The man hates the job,
he likes
the attention on Twitter that he can get from people,
right,
but he doesn't like the actual function of the job.
Remember all those reports when he was in the White House of all of his staff members being like, he doesn't care, he doesn't even open up the briefings he just walks in and turns around and goes back to watching Fox News and tweets.
And so he has to, I mean, this is why he will do literally anything to win, because it is existential for him. If he doesn't win, he will die in prison.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so it is literally life and death for him.
And so,
of course, he's going to do everything he can to win. The thing that is just utterly baffling to me and will continue to be utterly baffling to me for the rest of my existence is how he was able to dupe so many Americans into actually believing that he cared about them at any point, in any level, at any time.
People were right about it for centuries. Especially what happens, like, depending on what happens this year, the next 4 years, the next 10 years with the Republican Party. I mean, people are going to analyze this for centuries. The way that people look at, like, the Federalist, like, argue about the Federalist Papers and shit, people will argue about the psychology of Americans.
There's been a ton of natural experiments that have happened because of this.
And so
the political science that comes out of this is going to melt the internet. It's a wild time to be alive.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't mean that our descendants ban people over 60 from voting.
Let's fucking hope not. I know.
Take away people's democracy because people 200 years ago like couldn't handle their shit.
I think technology is more of a problem than democracy at this point.
Right.
So maybe we should just ban the internet. I think the internet might have been a mistake.
I know. It seems so good for a while, like, there, you know?
My employment is dependent on on the internet. Yeah, right, and I'm right. still like, I think this was maybe probably not. A mistake.
Yeah. Mm. It's exactly why we read AI books in our book club, and everybody like kind of freaked out and were like, maybe we should vote against this shit if we ever had the opportunity. It's like, if you thought the internet was going to be a good idea and then it turned bad, we all know what AI can do.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
bad. Yeah,
it's
like
pretty wild. It's going to be.
He's made about that shit already.
We're not doing the tech talk.
Sorry,
not doing the tech talk.
AI, people are not prepared. What's coming?
Yeah. Well, and this is going to be something about going back to the subject at hand. This will be something to watch probably on your phone. So there you go. There's the sequitur there. It seems to be it's ongoing. They're just still picking the jurors. That'll probably take at least the rest of the week. And then they'll set the date, I believe, after that, right, for when the proceedings actually occur. Has it been set yet? Have the proceedings?
I guess I don't know how it works in a federal trial, but oftentimes at a state or a county level, once the jury is selected, the trial starts.
Just begins, right.
Just right there.
So it might start next week, huh?
Yeah.
So I think it could be. I mean, there will be no doubt procedural delays that will happen as the Trump team challenges stuff that happens or the prosecution.
Exactly.
Whatever they call for recesses to review stuff or to reevaluate their strategy and stuff. So it will drag on. But it seems at this point he has tried all of his real legal tactics to delay it farther. Besides just like scheduling stuff with the judge.
Totally.
You know, that's not the case in some of the other hearings, stuff. You had the January 6th defendants going in front of the Supreme Court this morning, that's the federal one about obstruction. If they rule in favor of the January 6th defendants and say that you can't really use obstruction to charge people on January 6th, it takes away two of the four charges that they put against Trump, which is like the heavier charges.
So
it's very much like that's a close one to watch from the Supreme Court. They seem divided today.
That's what I saw.
We'll see how that goes.
Hard to see where they come down there.
Because
I mean, it is a very technical legal argument that I think is in a gray area.
June's going to be a whole hell of a time because that's when the Supreme Court ruling is going to come out. Depending on how this trial could take till then.
The campaigns
are going to be ramping up. Yeah, it's going to be
summer. It'll be hot.
Yeah,
everybody will be pissed off. It's going to be real hot. Not sleeping.
Yeah. It's going to be a hell of a summer.
I just want to go back to it being boring.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go back to being like, can you please listen to me for another 5 minutes about this budget thing?
Really
important. Yeah, can we cut off policy?
Yeah.
Infrastructure.
I will talk infrastructure all fucking day.
Yeah.
Really like infrastructure.
And can it be fun? Can it not be like, you know, a giant shipping tanker smashing into a bridge in Baltimore? Can it be like
or blocking the Suez Canal? Remember that one happened?
That was
a fun one. That meme is great.
One of my all-time favorites. It is so expressive to see that giant tanker and that little bulldozer there, and I'm just my life.
Right there
in a meme.
We could get back This is a little insider info to the listeners, but Tyler and I drove up from New Mexico this last weekend, and me and his wife put him to sleep talking about energy policy.
Yeah,
like
literally.
Like our electric grid system.
That was our... You guys should have recorded.
That could have been the pod for this week. But when we get back there, we promise that we'll put Tyler to sleep as the guardrails, and then we can really go off.
Let's go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Speaking of which, fantasy hockey, I'm in the playoff. I'm in the championship.
It's a big time.
Against the fucking commies.
That's right.
There is so much international relations happening right now, and I just very much look forward to the wall falling, to democracy reigning. This is gonna be a whole new age, shall we say? It's morning in Manly League.
Manly Cup.
Godspeed.
Morning in the Manly Cup.
Godspeed, everybody.
Come on. This song, like, it is...
I do not remember that song.
I don't
epitome,
either.
Epitome.
Are you sure it's not Good Charlotte?
It's We the Kings.
Okay.
Yeah. Stu, guaranteed Stu loves that song.
There we go.